Philippians chapter 2, trust everyone's had a good week, and I want to express the theme one more time that we've been studying the book of Philippians. The theme is always rejoicing. Now, there should always be a time in our life and our day, especially daily, that there's something that we can rejoice about. I mean, I wonder today, if life looks at us, we look at the world, we watch the news, it's discouraging, all that's going on, it can be frustrating, but folks, you know what? I'm still saved. I'm still on my way to heaven. He's still on the throne. No one's knocked him off. I know the end of the book. I know that what's going to happen when everything is said and done and is over. And so I can still rejoice. I can find something through the day, through the time where I can be happy about. And as I've repeated what my wife has taught in her Sunday school class, I choose joy. I just choose to be happy. Even if Tennessee got spanked real bad, I choose to be joyful. I choose to be happy. I choose to say, you know what? I can't always have it my way, but I can always do my best to make sure I'm doing it God's way. And so the aspect of always rejoicing, and remember that glass is either half full or half empty. I'd rather it be half full, to be optimistic, to be joyful. And I enjoy the book. Now, Philippians is Michelle's favorite book of the Bible. She loves the book of Philippians. Probably reads it through once a year and studies it. She just really enjoys it. And I think it's a good book for us to study, always a good book for us to look at, and at consideration of always being joyful. Last week, we finished up verse 12, a perpetual walk. And this morning, we'll read verse 13 and look at a planned will. Chapter 2 and verse 13, the Bible says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Father, bless the reading of your word. Thank you for the time that we can come together this morning. Thank you for the wonderful weekend that you've given us, Lord, in this Veterans Day as we look to honor and celebrate our veterans, Lord, here in our services in the next hour. Thank you for the freedoms, Lord, that we have in our country today. Help us always be mindful of also the freedom and the liberty that we have in Christ. Now, bless our time together today. May we learn, may we glean from the scriptures as we look at this aspect of always rejoicing. And in verse 13, a planned will. We ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. Again, let's look at that verse. "For it is God which worketh in you." Now, we could stop there, but he goes on, he says, "both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Are we allowing the Lord to work in our life and his good pleasure in our lives? Aren't you glad that God has a plan for your life? Aren't you glad that God knows exactly what's going on? And I've said this 100 times through my years of ministry. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? He did not wake up on October the 7th scratching his head at what happened there in the Middle East. He did not wake up this morning and scratch his head and wonder how in the world did that take place. The Bible tells us in Psalm 37, they have a few places this morning. I'm going to make sure I pause and you turn with me there. But Psalm 37 and verse 23, the Bible says the steps of a good man, the steps of a good man, good woman, are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And the problem is, are we being that good man to allow the Lord to order our steps, to care for us, to guide us, and to work through us? How sad that our stubborn will resists his divine guidance. You know, we all have a stubborn will at some time in our life. And growing up with our 4 children, I know I would say we had at least 1 strong-willed child. And now with our grandchildren, especially the 3 that are more local, we have at least 1, maybe 2 that are strong-willed. And those things, we work with them, we help them work through that. But as adults, are we strong-willed, or are we flexible? Are we ready to bend to the will of God in our life? The Bible tells us in Psalm 23, verse 2, that we've already studied, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Dear friends, he never forsakes us in the middle of our journey. Sometimes we may feel that way, but he is always there. The Bible tells us in Psalm 48 and verse 14, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." Forever and forever. How many of us have heard the phrase or said the phrase as a kid, "I'm not your friend anymore"? We get upset, or we hear kids, siblings fussing, and they don't want to be friends or upset over something. Isn't it wonderful to know with our relationship with the Lord? He says, "For this God is our God forever." Psalm 73 and verse 24 tells us, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." Do we allow the Lord to guide us in our counsel? Are we quick to make decisions? Are we rash? Are we too spontaneous? Or do we allow the Lord to work in us? Do we pray about things? Do we talk to the Lord? Do we seek His guidance? Are you listening to His voice in your daily life? Are you ready to hear Him speak to you each morning? Don't let the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things drown out the still, small voice of God. You know, when's the last time we sat down and reading our Bible just out of habits of just opening our Bible and reading? Are we still at the point as we open our Bible and say, Lord, speak to me today. Show me something that I have not seen. Though I'm opening a passage of Scripture that I read last year. Though I'm opening a passage of Scripture that Pastor has been teaching on in Sunday school. Lord, though I'm opening a passage of Scripture, a theme that Pastor has been teaching on. Lord, you show me something today that I've not seen. Show me something today that I need to re-see that'll help me today in my walk, in my daily life. Again, don't let the cares of this world, those deceitful riches, discourage you. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 21. The Bible says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Kind of a modern day thing. How many times have we heard our dad or our mom's voice in our head because of a decision we're about to make, or maybe one we shouldn't have made, or thinking about things? When's the last time we, you know, and if we hear the voice of our mom and our dad in our head from our teenage years, dear friends, we ought to be hearing regularly the voice of God in our heart, in our ears, because we're spending time with Him, and we're longing and we're listening for Him to guide us and to direct us in the thing that we do. I remember kind of a humorous thing, it kind of goes along with the idea of this aspect of hearing or recognizes the voice of our God, especially the voice of our parents or our grandparents. I remember Kayla Becca picked up the phone one day and called her mom and said, Mom, you got a few minutes? And she was laughing hysterically. And then so she said, yeah, I've got nothing going on. Let me go to the other room. They sat down and they talked. And what had happened with her laughing so hysterically is she was in the kitchen doing something with the kids, and they were younger. This had been a few years back. And she looked up, and there was a mirror in the kitchen that she had moved from one of the rooms over there because she's getting ready to do one of the kids, her daughter's hair. And she turned and she looked in the mirror with some of the silliness that was going on. And she looked up and she says, oh, my goodness, I've become my mother. As she saw it and reminded herself of her mom, some of her reaction and behavior with the kids, she got tickled and just had to call mom. You know, it should be the same way in our life and reflections. Those people that we hang around with, people we spend time with, our mom and dad, our siblings, things that they do, things that they've done, things that they said that we remember inherently and sometimes repeat. And it should be the same way with the Lord as we spend time in the Word. There are just some things we hear the voice of God about yes, we should do that. No, you should not do that. Or whatever the case may be, because we've been with Him and spending time with Him. Again, that Isaiah 30 and verse 21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. See, the devil is good at telling us that if we live in God's will be miserable for the rest of our lives. Isn't it funny how the devil tries to change the narrative completely? He says things that aren't true. I mean, he started in the Garden of Eden, yea, have God said. No, God did not say that. He changed it from the beginning. See, the devil wants to tell us we'll be poor, lonely, forsaken, and desolate if we live for the Lord. We'll be isolated. He convinces us that we'll never have fun, we'll never be happy, we'll never have fame and fortune or friends. He convinces us that his way is the way to pleasure and happiness. Dear friends, you know, that God's idea of pleasure and Satan's idea of pleasure are two completely different things. I mean, just watch the commercials for alcohol on television. They never show you the morning after. They always show you the night out and what's going on. Did you know that choice is not between pleasure and misery? That's what the devil wants to do. Oh, my way is full of pleasure. God's way is full of misery and rules and regulations and guidelines. There's no fun in those sayings. See, the choice is between pleasure and pleasure. There's not pleasure in misery, but that's what Satan does. He wants to say and give you two sides of the coin, his side being the pleasures of the world and the flesh versus miserable, the ways of God. See, the choice is actually between pleasure and pleasure. The devil's way offers pleasure, but so does God's way. Look at your Bibles in, we're going to look at Hebrews 11:25 and then Psalm 16. I'll give you a minute to put your fingers there. Hebrews 11:25 and Psalm 16. See, the difference is in the duration of the pleasure. It's still pleasure and pleasure, but that temporary moment of pleasure with Satan and the things of the world, or the lifelong time, the lifelong pleasure of service and fellowship with the Lord. Notice Hebrews 11:25. It says that you can enjoy the pleasure of sin for what? What's those last three words? For a season. Now go over to Psalm 16 and verse 11. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In the presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there is pleasure for evermore." One's God's way and one's Satan's way. Still pleasure, but Satan would have us to choose two different adjectives of description. But that's not what our Bible teaches us. So you see, both God's way and the devil's way provide or produce some type of pleasure. But while sin's joy only lasts for a season, the joy of the Lord is eternal. Nehemiah says the joy of the Lord is strength. See, God's joy, God's pleasure is for all eternity. Satan is always temporary for the moment, and oftentimes is followed by great regrets. See, you won't always see and understand God's way at first, but we must remember, again, as we look at Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways," excuse me, "your ways, my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heathens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And then the Bible tells us again in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." See, God has a different perspective on our lives than we do. Don't allow Satan, and encourage others, don't allow Satan to put you in a box and think, well, it's either pleasure of the world or the rules and guidelines of misery of serving the Lord. No, both are pleasurable. Folks, I don't know about you. I have no regrets in serving the Lord. I have no regrets of making a decision to leave the military, to go to Bible college, and go on with my career. I mean, goodness, I could have stayed in 12 more years and had a pension for the rest of my life if I stayed in the military. I know other guys that years, 15 years, and still walked away because God said go in this direction. No matter what we're doing and how we're serving the Lord, whether it's full-time service, whether it's a layman in the church, service for the Lord is still service for the Lord. And it should be joyous in a time of great pleasure knowing that we are pleasing our Heavenly Father. Folks, I don't know about you, but I always liked it. This didn't happen a lot. But I always liked it when that 9-week period is over when I was growing up that we got grade cards. And I was able to bring home grades that were pretty good and get that pat on the back from mom and how proud she was. Well, we can't wait till dad gets home tonight to share this. Sweetheart, what would you like for supper tonight? Well, I got to choose what I wanted to eat when I made those good high marks of all A's and B's. That wasn't always the case. But that aspect of hearing mom and dad say, "Well done, son." Dear friends, we have an opportunity to hear our Heavenly Father say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What a joy it is to live for the Lord. Don't let regrets, don't let things that have gone by, that a waste of time deter you or keep you from serving the Lord here moving forward. You know, I've heard the phrase, "We see life from the playing field, but God sees it from the blimp." I didn't always understand that as a young man playing ball, especially football, and having our tape review at the end of the weekend before the next game. But on film day, we saw things from a whole different perspective and realized that our coaches were right. And as a result, we learned to trust our coaching staff and what they told us to do. That bird's eye view from the top of looking down. Dear friends, our Heavenly Father is in the top looking down each and every day of our life. And that's why we should allow that Holy Spirit to speak to us and to guide us and to direct us, because He knows better than we do. See, you can trust God with your life. He's never made a mistake, and He's not going to start with your life now. Folks, I know when I was growing up, I thought my dad could do anything. I thought he was the smartest man in the world, though he never graduated from high school. I thought he could build, make, or do anything. Even through the years, even now to this day, as a grown man, there are still some things I'll call and talk to my dad and say, "Dad, what do you think?" Of course, that's much of an encouragement to my dad that I still want his advice and his counsel. But that's how he's taught me. That's what he's encouraged me. And now as a father and a grandfather, to have my children or grandkids ask me, "Dad or Papa, what do you think?" It's encouraging and a blessing. Hey, that maybe they have listened through these years. And are we listening to our Heavenly Father? Are we going to Him and saying, "Lord, help me into making this big decision," knowing that He has never made a mistake? Romans 12:2 informs us that His will is good and acceptable and perfect. It's hard to improve on perfect. Think about that for a moment. A perpetual walk, a planned will, and then thirdly, so we have time this morning, I think we can finish this little section, I believe, a pointed warning. Look at verse number 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. A pointed warning. Folks, that's one of those verses that we taught our children very young. I think one of the first verses they all learned was John 3:16, and then we shifted real quickly to, "Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right." And here's another verse we teach our children, and we should learn even as adults, do all things without murmuring and disputings. Right in the middle of this needed examination, this section that we're studying, God throws up a big warning right here. We all need it, and I'm not much for bumper stickers on my car, but there's been a few that I've seen that I've really liked. And one of those was, "Stop global whining." Maybe we should get some of those printed up and put them, make them popular again. It's been a long time since I've seen this sticker, but "Stop global whining." So, preacher, how does this have anything? Think about it. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. That's what whining is, murmuring and disputing. These things just aren't going my way. Did you know that more people were put to death for claiming, for complaining than any other sin in the Old Testament? Now, could be wrong, but the best I can find, I mean, there's more people who died over that than any other thing. Murmuring, complaining, disputing. Folks, I don't know about you, but I think a lot of churches would be cleared out on Sunday morning if the Lord started dealing with people with murmuring and disputings as He did in the Old Testament. Amen? I'm glad He doesn't. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse number 10, Paul warned the Corinthians. He says, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." Well, some of us, but the best exercise we get is jumping to conclusions, complaining, murmuring, and going on. Sometimes our eyes are just lying eyes. Sometimes what we thought we heard, we didn't hear in complete context. And I have found through the years, it's a whole lot better to let it go or go to the source and say, "Did I hear that right? Did I see that right?" as opposed to turning around and retelling it, or the murmuring and the disputing. See, when we complain and gripe about our circumstances in life, we are committing a grievous sin, because in reality, we are doubting the goodness of God. We are doubting His plan for our lives, as we saw in the previous point here that we talked about. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 3 is very clear. "The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord." I wonder how a difference would make in our world today, in our church, in our community, in our homes, if we can manage to go 24, 48 hours without murmuring or disputing, without complaining, without being negative, without getting upset or letting things get to us. See, it's not it's not the weather. It's not our parents. It's not our kids. It's not our grandkids. It's not our boss. It's not even your pastor or your spouse that you're griping against. In reality, you're fretting against God. Do we not just trust the Lord? Do we not know that He is in control? Folks, I mean, we think about more people died of whining than any other thing in the Old Testament. I tell you what, let's just be honest. There are days in my life, it's a good thing I wasn't God, because there'd be a lot of people dead. I mean, come on, we've all had bad days. We've all gotten frustrated. We've all gotten sideways. I mean, good night. It's just, we live in a body of flesh and blood. We're going to have that temptation, but hopefully we'll get the woe on and step back and say, oh man, I'm glad I am not God. I take that zap back. But the bottom line is, we need to approach life sometimes a little differently. There's a pointed warning here. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. God has a question for us in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3, in the first part of verse number 39, says, wherefore doth a living man complain? What do we complain about? Why are we complaining? How much of the complaining will even change anything? I mean, goodness, I'll pick on myself and my son. We kind of watched the ball game yesterday together. Technology is wonderful. Talked to him a little bit this morning for my birthday. You know, thinking about all the things that could have done differently yesterday, that maybe Tennessee might have pulled it off. And I just laughed and said, son, you're just being the armchair quarterback. Hindsight is easy. Sure, there was a lack of preparation. We just got outplayed, outcoached. We got just an old-fashioned Southern whooping, and that's all there is to it. And in life, sometimes we get those whoopings. And sometimes life don't go our way, but again, God is not scratching His head and wondering what happened. How did all those things take place? See, we have far more to be grateful for than we do to gripe about. Of all the things I could complain about, I probably have tenfold more that I should rejoice over in the goodness of the Lord. Someone has said, when you're feeling dog tired at night, and maybe because you've been growling all day, amen. Maybe we feel like the old dog at night because we've been, hey, sometimes it happens, and sometimes we need to put ourselves in a little bit of check. I don't know about you folks, but that kind of hit home with me. I've had a few of those days. See, the truth is, instead of complaining that we aren't getting what we deserve, we should be eternally grateful that we're not getting what we deserve. See, one of the devil's best tools is to get us to think that God isn't being good to us. It is. It started in the Garden of Eden. This is how he tripped up the very first couple there in the garden, trying to make it look like that God wasn't giving them their best. Good night. They hadn't even been alive very long to realize what was good and evil. But yet Satan slips in there, gives them options that really aren't really there, and he twists the word of God and what's taking place. He made them feel as if God was restricting them because he forbade them to eat of one tree. He didn't focus their attention on all that God had given them. Rather, he caused them to focus on what God said they couldn't have. Now, I'm almost finished here, but let's just stop there for a moment. Have you ever thought about the story there in the Garden of Eden? You ever thought to take a moment of all that they had, but yet Satan redirected their mind on things that they didn't have? Help me out. What are some things that they had so richly, so graciously, that was so good for them with just the two there in the Garden of Eden? Come on, help me out. Health.
They had fellowship
with God. Yeah, in the cool of the eve, every night it was an appointment of walking. All they had to do is honor the Lord, dress the garden, do those things. I mean, they had everything they needed there. A beautiful paradise, no sickness, no disease. All the fruit were ripe, no worms, no bugs. I mean, everything was wonderful. They didn't have to go to work. They didn't have to punch a clock. I mean, the only work they did, pleasure, is just dressing the garden and the enjoyment of doing those things and walking in the cool of the eve. You know, when all the years growing up after I got married and came back home, and even to this day, not every time, but often, they'll look around and things will get busy, and Dad will say, hey, let's go for a ride. And I'll tell Michelle, say, hey, you got the kids, man, Dad's going to go for a ride. And I knew where we were going. He was going to find a place to go down and get a barbecue sandwich. Every time we'd slip out away from everyone and we'd have a barbecue sandwich, Brother Mel.
No stress.
Yeah. No gray hair. Boy, I mean, the things that we think about, you know, a lot of those things that we could be that way even today, but we bring upon ourselves because we don't give it over to the Lord, knowing this perpetual walk that we have with Christ, this planned will that he has for our life, and this pointed warning. He's saying, hey, look out, be prepared. I have things for you, but Satan's going to try to deceive, change the color, do things a little bit differently. You know, I wonder how many people are turned off to the message of salvation because of the murmuring of the saints today. How many people are going in a different direction because of our murmuring, our disputings, our lack of joy in bringing things into the Lord? If Paul and Silas would have complained about their imprisonment, do you suppose that the Philippian jailer would have gotten saved? Even in the deepest prison, the worst conditions, they were singing praises unto the Lord. Who is on their way to hell today because of my critical, complaining, and contentious spirit? Who am I pushing away from the Lord compared to who am I drawing to the Lord because of my lack of murmuring and complaining, or because of my murmuring and complaining? Remember, when you're kicking about something, you've only got one leg to stand on. We're so busy kicking someone else, we really only got one leg to stand on. As my dad used to tell me, son, when you point a finger, you've got at least three pointed back at you. So often we need to be careful and remember, yeah, things are rough. Yes, I don't feel as good at age 60 as I did at 18 or 21 or 30. But you know, I'm still above ground. I have my health. I have my children, my grandchildren. Fortunate enough to have grandchildren and children close by. I've got a wonderful church family. I've got a loving, merciful, giving God that we can serve together. Folks, I tell you what, I've got a lot more to look forward to each and every day than I have to complain about what's going to happen the next day. But friends, we've got to make that decision. We've got to come to the conclusion. We've got to realize, again, do all things without murmurings and disputing, knowing that God is in complete control. He's reached out, as we've talked about before in Job, and hung the world on nothing. And if he's got the whole world in his hands, he's got things under complete control, that little bit of a minute headache that I have in my life may be uncomfortable, may be difficult, but sometimes we just need to say, Lord, help me to shed it. I'll be out for a walk, and I'll have no problem kicking off my shoe and turning it upside down to get that little pebble out of there to bother me. And when you go through life and things are bothering you, you've got you a little sideways, why not stop and sit up to the side and say, Lord, help me to get this pebble out of my head. Help me to get this thing that's bothering me out of my mind, that I might move forward in service and living for you. And Lord, let me let you take care of it. It's a lot easier said than done. But one more example. One of our little granddaughters came to me the other day and said, Papa, can you hold this? Can you keep it safe for me? I said, sure, what's wrong? Well, I don't want Jovi to tear it up, her younger sister. I just want to hold on to it a little longer till Grams gets home, because I want to give it to Grams. She made something in her art class. I said, you trust me? Oh, Papa, yes. You put it somewhere. You hide it. You put it away. You hold it until Grams gets home. And then I said, okay, I'll do it. And she smiled real big, wrapped her arms around my leg, told me, thank you, Papa, I love you. And she just ran off. She left it in my hands, knowing that I would keep it safe until Grams get home. You know, it's really that easy with the Lord. It just goes to him and said, Lord, this is really bothering me, but I need you to hold it for a while. I need you to take care of it. I may come back on occasion to want to look at it. I may come back on occasion to make sure you still have it. But Lord, I want to do my best to give it to you, and I want to walk away. Lord, friends, that'll help us so much with our murmurings and disputings if we just give it over to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm just going to trust you with it. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and thank you for your goodness, the joy of service, the joy of fellowship. Father, I pray that you dismiss us, Lord, as we had this intermission between Sunday school and services, be with our choirs, they rehearse and go over some things, Father. Help us in the next hour. May you be uplifted and glorified as we honor some of our veterans. Enjoy a day of service and fellowship together in the house of God. May you be uplifted and glorified, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Lord bless you. It is 9:33, and of course, we'll start our next hour at the top of the hour.